Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, beautiful, where the stars are drifting by. There's no better place on this earth than to be here at your side.
Ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to this week's episode of Christisms with your host, Nadia Khalil Bradley.
Hello everyone and welcome to today's Christisms, and we're at episode number 117. Today we're going to be talking about the way Christ teaches us. How does Christ get his point across when there is a lesson for us to learn? What does he do and what does he not do? And we're going to start by learning how we did it with Nadia. Are you guys ready? Okay, I'm your co-host, Dawn Katzen, and joining me, as always, is the author of Origins of Truth, Nadia Khalil Bradley. Hello, Nadia.
Hi, how are you, Dawn?
I am fantastic, of course. How are you?
This is a great day to be fantastic because I was just telling Dawn before we got on air that I get so excited before every show. And every time I think, oh, but I'm always saying I'm excited about every show, but I get so excited because the topics just keep refreshing my soul just even to talk about them. So imagine just hearing it together and sharing it. And today I wanted to talk about something that kind of I overlook because I'm so used to, you know, the fact that Christ is part of all of our lives now. It's not like he's, you know, someone that's hidden from us or someone that we fear or someone, you know, we feel clean and open to loving Christ now, which is the part I love the most. And I really had to stop and think about how Christ taught me. And there were certain things that he didn't do that helped me open up to learning. Mm-hmm. Because even though I was hearing it from Christ, and you know, we all think, oh, but if Christ said it, for sure you do it. But if he's telling you a lot of things, you know, what of it do you actually do?
Yeah.
You know, what of it do you keep? And you know, you can't do everything, but what sticks with you? And then why did it stick with me? And it was how he taught me. He taught me so gently that there were times I honestly didn't even feel like I was being taught. I just felt like that's how things were.
Can you give an example of that?
A great thing of just the way he loved me. It didn't make me feel like, oh, I have to try to love, or, oh, I have to be good enough to be loved, or I have to. It was just there.
Okay.
I never had to think about it again. I never had to say, oh, do you love me, Christ? Or did I do something bad? Do you not love me anymore? The love was already there, and because I knew it, that was already off the table. So my energy wasn't getting spliced in, am I doing this right or not? Am I still loved or not? Did I just sin? Did I just get hurt? Did I just get God mad? Did I just make Christ upset? None of that came into play.
Oh.
Do you see how that works? So then what happened to me is I did not realize until very recently that I carried that kind of love over into my life with my friends, with my family, with people that I see. I just loved them already, so I never expected other things to come back out of it. And so I had to learn that, you know, that's something people don't know, which made this show even more important for me today.
Exactly.
So what were the top 10 things that Christ doesn't do?
Oh, I'm so excited for this one.
Oh, I love this. The first one that he doesn't do is he doesn't talk about himself. He talks about what has happened. He doesn't say, I did this, I did that, I went here, they did this, they did that. He just says, in this instance, this is what happened here, irrelevant of the souls that it involved.
Well, so
and because of that, I saw it as a lesson. I didn't see it as, mm-hmm. oh, wow, they did that? Like, you know, because you know how we have judgments and we think some
yeah.
people are perfect and then they do something and we're like, wow, even so-and-so did that. Wow, even they, oh, wow, they did that? And it didn't matter who did it. He talked mm-hmm. about it objectively without it hurting that soul any further for having done something that already hurt them.
Got it. I completely get that.
You see? So that was with
yeah.
such love and such compassion for a soul, not saying, well, it was Nancy or it was Sally. And can you believe Sally who acts like she's got it all together and then this happened in her life and look, all that time this was going on. And it wasn't like that at all. It was just like when this happens in someone's life, it's because of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so he talked to me so objectively, I stopped looking at the person it was, and I started looking at what actually happened.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Number two.
Okay.
He never spoke to me with judgment. Just like he didn't bring up names and put people down for who they were, he simply explained the situation. Not speaking to someone in judgment, how does that sound?
I was going to say, what, you know, I'm going to ask for an example of that. What does that sound
okay,
like?
Okay, let's say somebody says, you did this and you did that and this is how it affected me and now I'm upset and now, you know, whatever, whatever. And you get really upset at somebody, let's just say, and this happens to every
yep.
single one of us. I don't know a
yes,
person that has not had that conversation.
Absolutely. Often.
I don't know one. But if you just said, wow, that was just the timing of that message really wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't say anything about what was even done, but the timing of you speaking this to me wasn't at a good time for me.
Okay.
You know, the time that I had to experience that wasn't a good time for me. I was distracted by something else over here. But now I can address it, and then you come back
okay.
and you address it. Because it's not like, you know, Christ said to me, oh, you did that today instead of this. Well, this was more important. He didn't speak to me like that. He didn't say, well, why didn't you sit and write today? It just said the minute I sat down to write, whenever I got to writing, he would say to me, thank you for coming.
Wow. Would there ever be a situation where maybe there was something in the day, like at the end of the day, you're looking back and reflecting upon the day, would he ever talk to you about a situation that would happen and what maybe would have happened had you paid more attention in a certain area?
He never says, if you just did this. That never came into conversation. Once something would happen, he would reiterate to me how everything happens in its ripe time, that there is no right time. There's only a ripe time. See, that's how far the lack of judgment went.
Wow.
I mean, that's how deep I was taught without judgment.
Uh-huh.
It was never, you know, I would put it on myself, like, oh, wow, I didn't write for 3 days. I was just so busy doing this, doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I sat down to write, everything that was going to come out came out.
Uh-huh.
And I was thanked for coming. I was thanked uh-huh. for the time I took to come. And no one said anything about the days before. And so
wow.
when you feel that loved, and then a person comes and judges you, I'm like, wow, even Christ didn't judge me. Who are you? And you really, like, you know, you don't know what to think. It's amazing when you're in that world how you forget that we have the kinds of emotions that stop and start us. And that we exchange energy with other people, it doesn't mean people are bad or wrong. It's that's how we were taught.
And
we were taught
what?
To judge so we would
yes,
feel better about ourselves.
Yep, yep. And, you know, we have a really great question from the chat room.
Yes.
They're asking, doesn't the right time, and I'm not sure if they heard that you were saying actually Christ uses the word ripe time, ripe, like a fruit
right,
is
like
ripe.
Fruit ripening, yeah, like the,
exactly.
the fruit looks like fruit, but then it's not ready to be eaten. But
okay.
one day it is. And
uh-huh.
it takes its time to get there, and once it's ripe, then you can eat it, even though it's looked like fruit all along. Sometimes we just want everything in a minute, but
mm-hmm.
yet there's certain things we have to wait for, and oh, my God, you guys, hang on to your undersquares for tomorrow when we do our Relationship Wednesday. Just
okay.
hang on, because tomorrow's topic, which I am not even going to give away right now because I have to finish a top 10 list by 4 o'clock. But
okay.
I got to tell you guys, tune in or miss out, because what just came out about sex is the most awesome thing I had ever heard.
Okay,
I'd ever heard it.
That one. But let me get,
so
let
that
me,
was that was our plug for tomorrow. I never do that, but I already know what it's going
to
be.
Okay, let me
so
try
I'm on it.
Questions here, though, so people,
okay.
So people understand. So,
so
they're asking about the right time. Does, what does that have to do with our free will? And also, how do we know when we have learned a lesson?
Okay, what does it have to? What does the ripe time have to do with our free will?
Yeah,
everything.
How does our free will play into that?
Everything,
uh-huh.
Because our free will gets to make decisions all day long, right? And we always pray to God in some way or another, or, you know, try really hard to do the right thing all the time.
Yes.
We never make a decision hoping we do the wrong thing. We make a decision hoping we do what's best in our interest at that moment.
Completely.
So if you can trust and have faith that if what you thought should happen today didn't happen today for a reason, and know that when it's ready, it will happen. That's when the ripe time comes into play. And it's really just having faith in not forcing an issue.
Awesome.
Because, see,
awesome.
We force a lot of issues, and then we wonder why we didn't get what we want. But then if you were to go back and think about it, it truly was because of impatience.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
We're just not patient enough. We want to get it done. We want it out of the way. We want it really bad. We're willing to settle. You know, all that kind of stuff starts going through our mind so quickly. But just remind yourself that there's going to be a ripe time, and I'm going to know when it is. And once you actually trust yourself the first time and you see it happen, once you do that once and you literally had the patience, you will do it again because you will understand the virtues of patience.
Wow.
So we are on number 3. He referred to everything as we and us. He never said I, and he never said you, and he never said me on a regular basis. When he spoke as we, as though me and him were already together, and that we are all together, because we takes us from a singular to a plural, and the plural can be an infinite number of people. So when he spoke, he always spoke for all of us. He never singled anyone out one way or the other.
Wow. So there's just a collective whole.
There's a collective whole in the forefront of your mind always.
Wow. So very altruistic. Love that.
Yes. Number 4.
Four.
Yeah, these are awesome. He doesn't speak in rules.
Okay.
He speaks in solutions. He doesn't say, well, you did this and that wasn't okay, or you did that and that was a sin. He's never used the word sin, by the way, the whole time I've ever seen or heard Christ, and it's been 12 years now. I have never heard him use the word sin except when he said that we were not original sinners.
Yep.
That we are original love. And when he said that, that's the only time I have heard him refer to the word sin. But he doesn't speak in rules. He speaks in solutions. Anything that happens, I don't care what it was, even the worst thing I thought, that I thought I should have been maybe reprimanded for or gotten in trouble for because, you know, I just didn't know what I didn't know. But then when I saw the results of what I didn't know, I was like, wow, I better think before I act. You know how you get there and you realize, oh, man, I should have really put more time in the front end of this. He never went back to say, well, you know, you broke this rule or did you know God said and you should have known better. That was never in the conversation. It was more, okay, well, now that you're here, what's next? What would be your best solution? What would be your best thought of how to take care of what has just transpired?
And, you know, and we have people are really, really active in the chat room today, and it's interesting. Is this why even in the Bible they always referred, like with God, they always referred to him as in plural, like Elohim, which is a plural us, the male-female combined energy of God?
Yes.
Is that why there's always an us?
There always is. We are never looked at separate people.
Wow.
I have never, and I remember when I first started writing and posting from Origins of Truth, and I mm-hmm. would write with we and us, that used to make people mad. And they'd go, well, how do you know how I feel? And I'm like, I don't. God Ooh. Does, but I don't.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know, I can't speak for people, but this is what I was told. This is how I was taught, and I must have been taught this way for a reason, but you're part of a whole, even if you don't want to be.
Exactly. Exactly.
We are all
and
the
you know
breath
what?
Of God.
Yep. And I normally, you know, today's the day of stuff that we normally wouldn't do, but I really want to make sure that we get all the way through this list. So I am going to have to hold off on the questions just because I know what's coming and it's going to be so fantastic and we don't want to miss it.
Okay. I know that I wish that we had a longer show today, but the first top 10 we can do in the half hour.
Okay.
Number five. He doesn't ask how I did something. He always asked me why I did it. He never said, how did you do that? He'd always say, why did you do that? Because he wanted to know my intentions, wanted me to know my intentions so that I would understand what motivated me to want something and why I would go through hoops of fire to get it. So he'd always ask really basically, you know, what your intentions were over and above. You know, how you did something didn't matter because what your intentions were was really what matters in the big picture.
Wow, got it.
Number six,
mm-hmm.
he never told me what to do.
Ever.
He just told me the effects of my actions, but he never told me what to do.
Wow.
He never said, today you need to do this, 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 you know, like a list.
Mm-hmm,
I never, in the whole time, and he's taught me more than I've learned in my whole lifetime, up to 40 years old in these last 12 years, and he never once told me what to do.
Wow.
He left that up to me. He never interfered with my free will.
Amazing.
Number seven. This one I wish wasn't true because sometimes I wanted it to be true.
Oh,
but he
I know
never gave answers. He simply helped you. Oh, I know. This is the one I'm like, everyone thinks now I know all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, well, let's switch places for a day. Because he's not going to give you answers either, so ha-ha, you know. But he never gives you answers. He simply helps you open the paths to finding the answers. But he,
wow.
This is how deep, you know, when someone asked about free will, this is how deep free will is respected. That's how far that goes. I mean, down to the point where, you know, your free will is asking for an answer, and he says, but your
nope.
free will is there to find the answer. So let's take a look at you finding the answer.
Well, actually, though, who would be, is that your ego? Because free will would probably not, if free will was its own entity, it probably wouldn't be asking for the answers.
No, free will would be asking for the next step.
Got it. Okay. Love that.
Yeah, free will would ask for the next step. Number eight, he trusts that if you lie, you have just lied to two people, you and him, and he accepts it until you say otherwise.
What?
Yes. There were things like when you don't know something and you really believe a different thing, like I might believe a school of thought that we were taught, but it might not be a true school of thought.
Okay.
He never comes and says, that's not right. He always waits for me to figure it out, and then he will explain it further to me.
Wow, what the ultimate respect.
That's how deep. Again, I mean, this is all showing you, and then you'll know why in number 10, but that's how deep it goes for respect of free will. And that's why this has happened to me, to remind us that we are free-willed souls, which we've lost sight of because we didn't want to be different. And yet we're all here to be different, which was the contradiction of our generations.
Exactly.
Number nine, he never uses the words, I love you unconditionally. He doesn't know the future. He simply says, I love you.
And you and I have, I got to say, we've talked at length about the word unconditional and how just saying that I love something unconditional puts a condition on love, which there could be nothing greater than.
Yeah, and it puts pressure on both people because then if you do something, the other one goes, got you. That wasn't unconditional. You just judged
yeah,
me. You
yeah.
just, you know, and then it goes on and on, and it's you can't weapon. Stop that ball from rolling. However, he doesn't, because no one knows the future because of free will, he simply says, I love you. He doesn't say, I love you forever. He doesn't say, he trusts that his love is understood.
Hmm.
And he never made me feel like I wasn't understood because I knew that he felt understood. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
It was really interesting, but he taught me to love calmly. Like, I used to want to prove how much I loved something. I used to want to buy my kids this and that. I used to want to, you know, take care of someone in a certain way so that they would know I love them. But he taught me to trust that if I love somebody, I can love them no matter what happens in a day.
Yep, absolutely.
And even if I disagree with someone. Okay, go for the drum roll. Okay, he never interferes with free will. He considers free will our greatest gift.
Absolutely. Wow.
It is the one gift that we have that is not interfered with from home. The only interference that happens to our free will is the interference that we allow. Okay?
Wow.
So that was number 10. So those are the top 10 things Christ doesn't do. So what does he do? What did he do?
Okay, here we go.
Number one, he listens to everything you say out loud and everything you think at once.
Wow.
He's a listener. And you know what? When you're conscious of it, you know that someone's listening and you know that you're not alone. And that is true for all of us.
Yep,
every
absolutely.
Single one of us. He leaves you alone when you want answers. He knows when not to be the crutch. And so when you want an answer, he's there and his love is there and you feel his love and you feel his support. But you also feel the love of learning in him. And it's almost like he gifts you by not telling you the answer rather than telling you the answer.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome when you think of it that way?
That is amazing.
It's like a mother empowering her son. You teach them how to cook. You teach them how to clean. You teach them how to do their own clothes. You teach them how to take care of issues. You've gifted them every single time. If they are with you and you don't teach them that, then they cannot take care of themselves, and they will be like, why didn't anyone teach me this?
Yep, exactly.
And that's how Christ teaches us.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now here's the funnier part, because you have to know that Christ has a sense of humor.
Yes.
He comes back once you have made the decisions. He comes back. And then he starts yicking and yakking. That's when he starts talking. Because he explains your decisions to you, and that's where the learning comes in. Without ever pointing a finger.
Now, would he normally ask the whys and then explain to you?
I would just be stuck, and then I would sit down and start writing. He calls it recording, so I almost said that. He always says, thank you for coming to recordation, like for recording. And so he comes back once you've made the decisions. Well, once I've made the decisions, I would have gone through probably hell and high water by then. And I understand why I did it. So when he takes it a step further, I understand what he's talking about. If I didn't make the decision myself and he made it, I probably would not have fully understood the answers.
Exactly.
Or the reflection of it.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, he explains what you did and why it happened as it did. He knows it breaks repetition once you understand. And that piggybacks off number three. Once you've made the decision, he knows why you did it. And then he would let me know sometimes the reason you reacted this way was because inside your love was injured in that area. So you were less mature at that moment when you made that decision, even though you're more mature in life.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so when you hear that, you say, wow, you know, that's true. That part of me, I always hid from other people because I didn't understand it myself. So I didn't know how to present that part of me to the world.
And you know what I love is I love the loving nature of being able to take something that's an issue for you and not make it such a big issue, but just something you can understand.
Because nobody's perfect. Mm-hmm. And if somebody feels safe and understood somewhere and then they feel like they're not understood, then they don't feel safe anymore. It doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It just means they have to go through their process to regain speed. But he doesn't make you feel that way. you're always safe. You're always understood. Even whatever you did, you know he knows your motivation, even though he may not speak on it until your free will has made a decision on it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool? How the patience,
that is so cool.
How, again, all of these keep going back to the depth of respect to our free will, our individual
mm-hmm.
free will.
Wow.
Oh, number, let me see, five. We're on five already. Okay, we're good. He trusts that we will be okay because he knows where we are going once we are through here. He knows that no matter what happens to us, no matter what we do or have done on earth, he knows that we're going home at some point. So anything that happens here doesn't scare him. And because it didn't scare him, it stopped scaring me.
Got it.
Because when someone talks to you and you're in the what you think is, you know, really a tough trap to be in on earth, and he comes to you with love and calmness, you have no choice but to know you're going to be okay.
Yeah, I get that.
And that energy has taught me that in the worst situations I could ever face, that I'm still okay.
Yeah, yes.
That I'm still
I don't mean
okay.
To laugh, but,
what's
know,
the worst thing
times,
that's going
to
happen? Huh?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't mean to laugh, but there's been times where I know, like, you had to have something done by 4 o'clock and you weren't sure it was going to happen. And you said, well, you know what? I'll know by 4:05 what the outcome was.
Exactly. And that's how I feel. I'll know exactly by then what happened. And really, it puts a lot of, you know, I'm not a very anxious person, but I'm even less apt to be anxious or worried or nervous. What happens to me now if something is going on and I can't figure it out is I get really quiet.
Yeah.
It's like I can't talk because my mind is going 1,000 miles an hour and I'm like, you know, I've got faith, so that isn't my question. My question is just I'm curious to see what happens and how it hits. Pretty
got
much.
Got it, exactly.
Number six, he looks at money, ego, things, and possessions as catalysts. He just looks at them for what they are. They're all things that teach us who we are.
Wow.
That's why they're all here. None of that exists at home. Number seven, he keeps going back to self-accounting no matter what we say. No matter what I say, he always makes me account for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the only way I'll know what really happened. Because there's a million versions of anything. But when you account for yourself, that's when you know what really happened.
Yep.
That's why self-accounting is so important.
Got it.
Number eight, he knows that everything is a source of love, even if it turns into the lack of love, that it will be pure love at some point again.
Oh, that's a good one.
Isn't that cool?
That is a very cool one.
And those are the things he does. With such a gentle hand. Number nine.
Okay.
He knows we will not burn in any hell of any kind, and he treats us accordingly. He never had to threaten me.
Wow.
Can you imagine Christ threatening me, like loving me and then threatening me? I'd be scared to death of him.
Yeah, the love
I would be scared to death. Yes, that would be really, really tough. I don't think I could have learned knowing that there was a heavy hand above my head waiting for me to do something wrong and then putting me in a place where I would feel like, wow, I'm really going to get punished for that.
Wow.
Because think about it. When you go back and look at what you did when you were younger, can you imagine being punished for that after living your whole life and learning past it? It was one event. And someone says, well, you did that. You're going to burn in hell for that. And you think, but look at all the growth I've made. Really? Is there no redemption?
Yep. And you know what, Nadia? We have less than 1 minute.
Okay. Here it goes.
Here we
do
go.
It. Do it. He trusts without a doubt that love is the cornerstone of all things and everything. He speaks in truth, love, and purity, and he calls them our hot buttons, and they are truth, love, and purity are every single human being on the face of this earth's hot buttons.
Wow, absolutely. What a great list.
I you know, I want to say I love Christ and sound crazy, but I love his love.
You know what? I think we can all say that. We can all say the thing too. We love him, as crazy as it sounds. But
I love his love.
Thank you. Thank you so much for picking such a great topic today. And I do want to thank everybody for joining us. And if this is your first time ever listening to Christisms, know that you can listen to us every Monday through Friday, 3:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And if today's show really resonated with you and you want to learn more about Christ and how he teaches, you can feel free to visit us at NadiaClaireBradley.com and you can learn all about Origins of Truth. If you want to learn how this can look in your personal life, you can schedule a one-on-one appointment with Nadia. And be sure to go over to Facebook and give us a like on over there so you can get Nadia's daily inspirations. And Nadia, thank you again for a wonderful show.
Oh, thank you, guys. I love you. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of Christisms with Nadia Khalil Bradley. To learn more, visit NadiaKhalilBradley.com.